Well, good morning again, everybody. You all look lovely. Thank you for taking the time to make yourselves presentable. Every once in a while, I'll be in public and I'll see somebody that hasn't combed their hair, doesn't look like it. I'm thinking, really? You know, you go out in public like that? None of us want to leave the house with what we call bedhead. We do our best to with what we have. We just work with what we've got. There was a man, however, in our history that appearance did not matter. It was the least of his assets. Abraham Lincoln was not known as a handsome man. One time somebody called him Two-Face, and he said, if I were Two-Face, would I be wearing this one? So he had a great attitude about how he looked. He didn't care about his appearance, but others, friends and even foes alike, would attack him for it and talk about how unattractive he was. A fellow by the name of Edward Stanton would call him Gorilla many times in public debates. He was one of his fiercest enemies, and he was often insulted for how he looked. But Lincoln didn't let him bother that. He just let criticism kind of roll past him. And as a lawyer, he learned to respect Stanton's mind and how he thought and how what he did. And so when he became president, Lincoln asked Stanton to join his cabinet as the Secretary of War. And people close to Lincoln objected to it. They didn't think that was an appropriate thing to do, and they couldn't forgive Stanton for how he had ridiculed humble Lincoln. And so they pressed him for an explanation why you would appoint this man to the post. And he said, I chose Stanton simply because he's the best man for the job. And so Lincoln recognized a person's worth no matter what that person may have hurt him or what they've done. And so you wonder, if somebody unable to do that, what do you call this quality? Is it patience? Is it foolishness? Is it stupidity? And many, myself included, would call it meekness, humility, willing to acknowledge the man's ability and strengths. And many mistake meekness for weakness, but it's the opposite is true in reality. Meekness is power that's under control. It's not weakness, but it's a discipline and ability to control power. He yielded under the right circumstances. Stanton and everyone else came to know Lincoln soon after. Soon forgot his looks after they got to know him. Began to recognize him for his strengths and for who he was. And Stanton, the man who once called Lincoln a gorilla. After Lincoln was shot, he, through tears, said, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. And so this quality of meekness won a lot of people over. We have been on, of course, a series now in Galatians 5 regarding the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we will find ourselves here as well. What happened to that? Is it only partly up there? Skip, you want to take a look at that? I'm not sure what's going on with it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so today we find ourselves at gentleness, which the King James translates meekness. And if you look at this list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, there are some words that are kind of similar to each other. Kindness and gentleness. And depending on the translation, you will see kindness translated gentleness, and gentleness translated meekness. And the use of these words in our English language will at times overlap. Yet there's a distinction in the original language, and clearly a distinction meant by the Holy Spirit. Gentleness in the King James Version is kindness in the New King James and NIV and other places. And gentleness is about usefulness and moral excellence, how we treat other people. It's not just about being nice to everyone, but treating them in ways that will bless them and help them. Now, meekness is in the King James Version, is kindness in the New King James and NIV. And it's different. It's a very distinctive challenge, or I shouldn't say challenge, but change. And it's about humility and the right kind of humility in the sight of God. It's a meekness before God, and it's a simple definition, though, when you begin to understand the true meaning of it. It's not just a timidness, but it's a strength that is tamed strength, and a strength that somebody would hold back for the good of somebody else. Christ could have come down from the cross, but rather through meekness, he was strong enough to stay there and pay your penalty. He had the ability not to endure that, but he, in meekness, endured it. And so we do well to remind ourselves that this fruit here is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And every individual, each of the individual fruit is a character trait of God, which, as we've looked at in weeks past, the Holy Spirit is doing, developing and maturing in our lives this character trait that reflects God. And the mature believer cares more about how he is before God than how he is before the world. And the immature believer or the carnal person cares greatly about what he looks like before the world rather than what he looks like before God. And the mature believer is not moved by or motivated by the world's standards, but by God's standards. What is important to God? And meekness is a hard one for us to fully comprehend at first glance. When we hear meekness, we think of weakness. And weakness is not the meaning that God intended for this word that is translated, as I said, in the King James and elsewhere as meekness. Nor is the character trait that God desires to mature in you an attitude of weakness. The meekness here is not what the world views as meek. Even the dictionary defines meek as timid, cowering. And the supernatural trait of meekness is anything but timid or cowering. It is strength tamed, strength under control. And this meekness is an attitude of yielding to God and His will. It's an attitude of accepting your place, what God has for you. And it's not being timid or fearful. In fact, fearful is a lack of faith in God. We're told to fear not, that God is in control. So we will think of meekness in our language as timid or fearful or cowering, but the biblical understanding of meekness is anything but. We're not supposed to be fearful. We're not supposed to be cowering. We are strong in God and knowing that He's with us. But so, there's a Sumrall quote. Lester Sumrall said this, and let's see if this will pop up. There we go. It seems like that's working there, Skip. We'll see what happens with that. Lester Sumrall, some of you may know him, he's with the Lord now, but he said, meekness bends like a reed before the storms of life, but it rises again in the beauty and strength that it should. I kind of like that, and meekness is strong. It just doesn't lie down and quit, but it gets back up. Meekness understands that things come along, but you don't respond to them in fierceness or anger, but you bend with them when you need to. Godly meekness is reflected in our attitude before God and in our attitude before others. If you pay close attention to our scripture's definition of love, you will notice meekness. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Meekness does not lift itself up in pride. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And so you begin to see some of the differences, how people walk around arrogantly and all puffed up. That's not meekness. Meekness is not overbearing, demanding your own way. Meekness does not blow up over injustices. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. And so we begin to get a little understanding of meekness. Perhaps we begin to see the godly characteristic of meekness, and now we begin to see perhaps the value of meekness. I don't know that if I'd have thought about the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I would have erased and said, I want to be meek because of our thinking of what meekness is. But there's a great value in it. And if you study the life of Christ, you will see that He personified meekness. Little wonder meekness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if our goal is to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to grow in meekness, we can do well to see examples of meekness in individuals in Scripture. They will help us. Moses is one. Now, Moses is an interesting study. He was a strong man in every way, very powerful leader, but he also had a temper. He killed an Egyptian, and when he witnessed a fellow Hebrew being treated unfairly, he became angry at the Israelites and their sin in the wilderness, threw the Ten Commandments tablets down. He struck a rock that God told him to speak to, and in anger, he did it the opposite. But he was also a strong and dynamic leader, led well over 2 million people in the most difficult of circumstances, heading out into the wilderness, leaving their homes and following what they thought was God's plan, and he was a powerful leader. And yet Scripture says this about Moses. Numbers 12:3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And the King James translates it this way. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth.
Consider what an incredible statement this is. Now, the man of Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. Meekness is not weakness. When you study the life of Moses, you can never claim he was a weak individual. And for Moses, to be certain, his anger cost him dearly. Yet in spite of all this, God recognized Moses' meekness. It's a very interesting thing to kind of consider, but his meekness really was shown in his acceptance of what God ordained for him and for his life, including endless battles with the Israelites, the disobedient, rebellious Israelites that God had called him to lead. His meekness before God allowed him to accept God's will for him, to do what God had called him to do, knowing that what God wanted for him was what's best for him, including even the enormous disappointment of not getting into the promised land. And he didn't respond in anger and all this that he had done for God and seemingly taken from him. James Packer writes, "And your father loves you." He says, "Moses was a man with a fierce temper. It was this which had betrayed him during the time in the wilderness. But when God said in effect, 'Now look, Moses, in order to teach the whole world how much loss sin can bring, I'm going to let you into the land. I'm not going to let you in the land, but people will go in, but you won't.' He did not curse God in furious protest. Quietly, if sadly, he accepted God's decision." That's meekness. Meekness for a child of God means accepting uncomplainingly what comes, knowing that it comes from the hand of God who orders all things. What he sends, we accept in faith, even if it hurts, knowing that it's for our and others' good. And it's not a woe is me attitude. It's not rolling over and accepting everything that comes your way, saying, oh, it must be God. It's knowing when God has ordained something, it's his plan, his purpose, and his will, and meekly accepting that in spite of how you may feel about it. When you know it's God's plan and his purpose and it's his will for your life, you follow after that. Job was a man who had more troubles and pain than you and I will ever have to deal with. In spite of all this, he never blamed God. He trusted God. That's meekness before God. And Job's trust in God wasn't based upon emotion. He knew who God was. It was based upon a complete belief in God as the one who knew what was best for him and his situation. It was based upon a complete belief that whatever God put in his life, God was still to be trusted. Do we trust God? That's a sign of meekness. And after all he had gone through, the worst testing that anyone could possibly go through, Job uttered these words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." Basically saying, even if God kills me for saying this, I will still trust him. He knows best. Even now, I will defend my innocence before him and trust him. Even if I proclaim my innocence and God would kill me for it, I don't care. I trust him. Submitting to God's will. And he said this while everybody else around him said, curse God and die. We've never been through that kind of pain. Godly men reflecting the character of a holy God. And much of the character of God is reflecting the strength under control, meekness. Clearly, we see this in the life of Christ. Jesus personified meekness, strength under control, tame strength. Matthew tells us that Jesus rode into Jerusalem in meekness. Matthew 21:5, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." King James says, "Thy king cometh unto thee meek." This attitude of humility. And he fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah. But here was the king, the creator of all the universe, coming meekly, lowly. He rode into Jerusalem in meekness. And yet, just read a few more verses and you see he goes into the temple and drives out the money changers, overturning the tables. He drives out the ungodly, the thieves. He stays behind and heals the lame and the blind. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus sat on the throne and yet chose to come here to be with us. Maybe we can see meekness in that more than anything else. One who spoke the worlds into creation, sat on the throne with the Father, and chose to come here. We see in Philippians 2 a powerful, powerful verse, 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to be and think like Jesus. I want you to see yourself like Jesus said. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. It's recognizing that he knew he was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that Christ knew he was God. Who, being the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Where it says he made himself of no reputation, literally it means he emptied himself. He laid aside his rank and his dignity, took on the form of man for you and for me. That's an understanding of meekness. He was God and is God and remained God. But at the same time, he said, I will lay all that aside to perfect your salvation. We'll never see a greater example of strength than Jesus, and we'll never see a greater example of meekness than Jesus. To know what this meekness means. As I've said, if you study the life of Christ, you will see he personified meekness. Little wonder meekness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In this challenging world that drives us to weariness, Christ has a solution. Matthew 11:28 and following. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you, that scripture right there just speaks to you? You know? Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden. The cares of all that you're trying to do, the concerns of life and work and children and on and on the list goes. And where do we go? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a precious, beautiful scripture. Let this mind be in you that it was in Christ Jesus. Jesus said as well, learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, meek in heart, and you'll find rest. So many see meekness as weakness. Yet the reality is just the opposite. The world tries to make it on their own. They do everything in their own strength, too stubborn to admit they can't do it all. The opposite of meekness. They become weary and weak. True strength is found in Christ, and true strength is found in our meekness before him. Jesus knew this. In fact, he preached it. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Does that not fly in the face of what the world says? If you want to gain things, you got to be powerful and strong and above and is, take it yourself. Christ said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Have you ever really thought about that statement? I mean, do you realize what Jesus is saying here? Those who come before God in humility and meekness will gain the kingdom of God. They will rule and reign with God in the end times. Blessed, happy are those that are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How many men, I wonder, think that meekness is weakness? How many wives and children hunger for a husband and a father that is strong and, you know, you can count on him, but at the same time is meek, has strength tamed? A dad that they know is there for them, but he's not overbearing. How many women think that yelling or demanding their way is the only way to accomplish what they want? How much better off would we all be begin reflecting the meekness of God to know what it means and what he wants for us? Psalm 37 says this, 9 through 11, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Fear a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." I like that. I mean, if I want anything in my life, I want peace. I mean, I can handle anything when I'm peaceful, amen? And all these storms of life that come, and all these challenges of life that come, and all these difficulties in life that come, and yet when we tap into the presence of God and draw from his strength, we're at peace. And we understand this is meekness, becoming before God and submitting ourselves to him and being submitted and trustworthy towards others as well. Become meek, inheriting the earth. Psalm 147 says this. Let's go here. Psalm 147, 6 tells this. "The Lord lifts up the humble," and the King James says meek, "he casts the wicked down to the ground." The Lord lifts up the meek. Psalm 25, 9 says, "The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. He will guide in what is right and teach you his way." Now, if there's not a better reason there than to be meek, "the meek he will guide in what is right and will teach him God's way." We all want that. Isaiah 29:19 says, "The humble, the meek, also shall increase their joy in the Lord." I don't know that we ever thought about meekness giving us joy. But the spirit of meekness would make us blessed and peaceful and have joy. Do you find yourself angry a lot? Do you have a hot temper? Do you feel justified? That's not meekness. Do you have an attitude of just being firm all the time, and that's not meekness. We have thought that being angry was a way to get what we want. We have thought being angry was our right when we feel justified or slighted. Meekness is not being taken advantage of. Meekness recognizes a problem and confronts it in a spirit of gentleness and restoration. It's not demanding our rights. It's not demanding what you think is right. It's understanding others. James 3:13 and following. "Who is wise and understanding among you?" I mean, that kind of defines what we're going to read after this. Do you have a sense of God's will? What is his wisdom? Do you understand his word? "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." I mean, I love that scripture. We've looked at it in times past, and it just says so much about this humility and meekness and submitting to God and having an ability to touch others and be easily entreated, easily approached. Philip Yancey writes, "Vengeance is a passion to get even. It is a hot desire to give back as much pain as someone gives you. The problem with revenge is that it never gets what it wants. It never evens the score. Fairness never comes. The chain reaction set off by every act of vengeance always takes its unhindered course. It ties both the injured and the injurer to an escalator of pain. Both are stuck on the escalator as long as parity is demanded, and the escalator never stops, never lets anyone off." Perhaps meekness is one fruit of the Holy Spirit that we should seek harder than we have ever thought before. And talk about being a wisdom that's from above and pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's a one understanding of where meekness takes us. I had a wedding I had to perform, and it was an outdoor wedding. And it's a special place. I don't want to give too much away, but because I want to talk about somebody. But there was a wedding coordinator that belonged to this particular establishment. And she seemed nice enough, but when you really listened to her, she was hard. I mean, she didn't cut slack for nothing. You're going to do it this way. That's it. You didn't pay for that. You're not getting that. She talked about somebody that had a wedding there, and it was real cold out, and they had this little storefront in this place, and she said, you know, we couldn't let them in there because they just bothered the other people, and they were cold, and the wedding was delayed, and they wanted coffee, and he says, no, we're towards the end of the day, and we made coffee for the day, and that's it. We're not making any other, all this kind of stuff. She began to share about her husband who had cancer, I think it was a year before, and he was doing okay now, but he was like, you know, he had to go through these things, and it was very difficult, and it was hard, but, you know, I said, suck it up. Just deal with it. So you're uncomfortable for a while. So what? I'm thinking, I got a feeling when they passed out mercy, she wasn't in the line. I mean, she went on and on about this, and I just thought to myself, what a person to be around all the time. Not meek at all. Not mercy. Meekness is not a self-life. So often we go through life concerned about self and our needs and our wants. Meekness is not self-life. It's a life dependent on the Holy Spirit. We can never accomplish being meek or any of the fruits of the Holy Spirit without being submitted to God and yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's always a result of a branch being tied to the vine, which we've looked at throughout this series. John 15, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in a vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You take a wonderful fruit tree or whatever it is and cut that branch off and set it aside, it's never going to produce fruit without being tied to the source. We want the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We think we can do it on our own. We think we can be involved with Christ and not be involved in the body. And that's not what the Scripture says. We got to be tied to Christ and tied to his body to produce the fruit. Because when you study the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so much of it is to give to others, to impact others. And you won't do it without being tied to the vine and involved in the body. Meekness has been called love with a bowed head. Thy will be done, Lord. And meekness is an attitude towards God and towards one another. Perhaps it's a fruit that we've never really thought about, and it's probably one that we've never really desired to have until we understand its true strength that is willing to bend and to be tamed. I invite the worship team to come forward. I mentioned Lester Sumrall earlier. Some of you may know him. He's with the Lord now, may have knew him. Excuse me, did great things in the mission field. He came back and started a church and went on TV. He sent food all over. I went to his warehouse once. He had these big C-130s. He'd fill them full of food and take them all over the world and did tremendous things for God. He told a story once about a couple that never went to church, but they accepted the Lord watching TV. And shortly thereafter, I guess, the husband died. So somebody in the church knew them, and they asked Lester, would you do this man's funeral? And he agreed to do it. So at the close of the service, he was standing at the head of the casket, as ministers do, and a young man came by and slipped a note in the pocket of the dead man in the casket. And Lester said, I didn't want any bombs in there or something. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I went and took the note, and I said, what do you think you're doing? If you knew Lester Sumrall, that's how he'd be. He said, what do you think you're doing? The young man said, was crying. Sumrall says he's about 25, 26 years old, and he said the deceased man was his father. He said he had mistreated his father, had hurt him terribly many, many times, and done so many things wrong to him over and over. He said, my father died suddenly. I was never able to ask for forgiveness. He said the note's an apology asking him to forgive me. Lester said, you don't get forgiveness from a dead man. When you have a problem, you have to get rid of it on this side of life. Which is true. And so he encouraged him to turn to Jesus for help. He said, if you carry this burden, it will kill you, will grind you down. Since your father's gone, it's too late to do anything with that right now. I can't change that. He said, but Christ can help you. And he led the man to the Lord. Meekness has a forgiveness-giving spirit. Meekness has a forgiving spirit towards others when you've had injustices and you've been wrong, that you have an attitude of forgiveness. And meekness allows yourself to forgive yourself as well. He told this man, if you don't carry this forgiveness, if you don't learn to forgive yourself for how you've mistreated your dad, it'll kill you. Meekness leaves all things in God's hands, trusting him. Meekness never rushes into God's presence demanding from God and taking from God without humbling yourself. Meekness is free from retaliation when others have hurt you. Meekness approaches others that have offended you or wronged you with a spirit of restoration. Meekness is love at its best, and it's divine. Titus 3:2 says, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility, meekness to all men. Let's worship God this morning.